بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 8th of April in the year 2024 Alhamdulillah is the 29th glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan and the announcement has come that inshallah this year there will be a full 30 days of the holy month. So all praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his unending blessings and favors. Ameen. And I've moved on to the 67th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I'm on the subsection in which I'm highlighting now that he settled in to his post as the governor of Egypt. And Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar is constantly giving him exhortations and advice. So another example, in Abu Dawood, Qurtubi in his Tafsir, volume 1, page 453 of the English translation, it mentions, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he once gave a sermon in which he said, whoever is wronged by a governor should present his case before me and I will take retaliation for him. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As thereupon stood up radiyallahu anhu and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu, if one of us disciplines a man who is subject to his authority, will you take retaliation from him? He replied, how could I not take retaliation from him when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take retaliation for his own exalted self? Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's told the people, if any governor has wronged you, I will take retaliation. In other words, come to me, I will deal with it. So who stands up? Amr ibn al-As. And Amr ibn al-As, what did he say radiyallahu? He said, if one of us governors disciplines a man who is under our authority, will you take retaliation? In other words, he goes, doesn't that bind us, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He replied, how could I not take retaliation when I saw Rasulullah take retaliation for himself? So he was referring to an incident of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what incident was he referring to? In Nasa'i and Qurtubi in his Tafsir, volume 1, page 452-3 of the English translation, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, he relates, once while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was distributing something, a man came near him and Rasulullah poked him with a stick and the man winced. Rasulullah seeing this, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come, take your retaliation. He replied, I have already absolved you, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So what happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was distributing some sadaqah or maybe spoils. And a man came a bit too close. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a stick and he just, slightly poked him. But the man made a sound. When the man made the sound, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take your retaliation. And obviously, the Sahaba said, I've absolved you, Ya Rasulullah. So maybe Umar was referring to that. In other words, if Rasulullah himself is saying, take retaliation for me, because who are you? Umar said, radiyallahu. In addition, during the Hajj season, the governors were told to attend if the Amir al-Mu'mineen was present in any case of grievances under their watch. So think about this. Umar radiyallahu anhu, he performed every Hajj. So this is very important to highlight. Why? Because people, they say, I need time to do my Hajj. Right? And then you say, why are you busy? Are you more busy than Amir al-Mu'mineen? So think about that. He did Hajj, if not all, barring one, some say all. Not only did he do Hajj, he told all the governors to attend. So think about that. Are you more busy than the governors? Why? Because if anybody had a grievance, they would say, Amir al-Mu'mineen, The governor of Egypt didn't, you know, address this situation. The governor of Syria didn't address this situation. So what happened? In Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat 3-293-4, Umar radiallahu anhu said, whoever has been treated differently than this, let him now stand up. One man arose. That's subhanAllah, think about that. Look at the justice. Just one man arose in the entire Hajj assembly, showing what level of justice had been reached. And he said, your governor, so-and-so, gave me 100 lashes. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he summoned the governor. He queried him, and he did not receive a satisfactory answer. So he said to the man, get up, take your due. So who was the governor? Allahu alim. So when the governor said, this is why I lashed him 100 times, Umar goes, not good enough. He told the man, take your due. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As stood up, radiallahu anhu, and he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you allow this, it will become common. And also a sunnah after you are gone. In other words, he goes, the governor's, what's the point? He goes, everybody's going to say, sunnah, khilaf al-Rajmideen. And he goes, please reconsider. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, how can I not settle scores when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making lawful to others to retaliate upon him? Because who are you? So Amr radiallahu anhu, he starts going into that, you know, state of his. He thereupon said, Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, allow us to make a deal with the man. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, go ahead. The man was thereupon given 200 dinars. 2 dinars for each strike of the whip. So look how beautiful. How many people attended the Hajj? Must be at least, you know, 5 figures. Maybe even six figures. Hundreds of thousands. One person. Imagine if it happened now. We've got no governors, but, you know, everybody will get up, right? So one person gets up. So Umar makes the investigation, the governor is there, not happy with it. He goes, take your retaliation. So Amr, obviously, he's a governor. He knows what this means, because this has become a sunnah Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, the Rasulullah took retaliation. So then, look how beautiful. Amr radiallahu anhu found a way out. He goes to that man, look, you've been whipped 100 times. You've been struck 100 times. And of course, we found out it wasn't, you know, his right to do this. But take 2 dinars for each strike. We'll give you 200 dinars. And the man goes, yes. So what does that tell you? Sayyidina Amr was always with Sayyidina Umar. Always. How many hajjis did he do? That indicates Amr did 6-7 hajjis with Umar radiallahu anhu. So, and again, this is something to think about. You know, when people say, I'm busy, I haven't got time, I need to make me a book of vacation, this, that, I think, what's going on, brother? Hajj, it sounds like Hajj is nafl. Right? You need to get it in. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih Hadith, perform the Hajj before you will not be able to perform it. That's a hadith. Now what's happened? COVID struck. You didn't listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prices shut up. You didn't listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Things are happening. So as soon as you get the opportunity, do the Farad Hajj. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he would not tolerate any injustices throughout the vast Islamic realm. So there's a famous example of this. So this is recorded in Kanzul Umal, number 36,010 or 12-294. Ibn Abdul Hakam in his Futuh al-Misr, page 114 to 115. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, an Egyptian once came to Al-Madinah to the presence of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, a'idhan biqa min al-zulm, I seek refuge, your refuge, from being oppressed. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, ufta ma'adha, you are granted total refuge. What's happened? The Egyptian said, I had a race with the governor's son and I beat him. The governor's son then whipped me and he said, Ana ibnul akramin, I am the son of the noble one. How dare you beat me? Upon hearing this, Umar radiallahu anhu sent a message. He goes, Amr, you're wanted. And bring your son. So the governor of Egypt and his son are summoned. When they arrived, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked, Ain al Misri, who this Sauta Fadrib, where is the Egyptian? Take this whip, flog the son of Amr. He was then flogged. Whilst Umar radiallahu anhu was all the while saying, Idribn al Akramin, flog the son of the noble. Flog him. He's the son of the noble. Anas radiallahu anhu added, Fadarab, for wallah, laqad darabahu wa nahnu nuhibbu darba. He then flogged him. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was flogged. We love the flogging. We love the justice being meted out. Indeed, he did not stop flogging him until we felt he must stop, which he did. Umar radiallahu anhu then said to the Egyptian to raise the whip. Now over the head of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. The Egyptian said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Inna mabnuhu alladhi darabani wa qadis taqattu min. Verily, I have took my Jew from his son who was with me. He goes, why are you asking me to whip his father? Umar then angrily turned to Amr ibn al-As and he said, Muthkam ta'abbattumun nasa wa qad waladatkum ummahatuhum ahrara. Since when have you regarded people as your slaves whilst their mothers gave birth to them as free men, O Amr? Amr ibn al-As is in shock. He says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Lam a'lam wa lam ya'ati. I was unaware of this incident. And in addition, the man had not come to me. He came to you. And then Umar radiallahu anhu didn't take it any further. So let's look at this. So if this wasn't recorded, you're thinking, now you just... So what's happened? Why is that Egyptian had a race? God knows, right? But he beat the son of Amr. So Amr, don't forget, the son of Amr wasn't a sahaba. He, out of pride, he goes, Ana ibnul akramin, I am the son of the noble. In other words, you know whose son I am. And he was right, he was the son of the noble. He didn't say anything wrong, but there was pride in it. The one who was whipped, he didn't go to the father. That's interesting. Now think about it. What was the trek? He had to go from Egypt all the way to Al-Madinah in those days. But this is how much love they had for Amir al-Mu'mineen. They goes, we're definitely going to get the justice. So when he came and he was actually wearing the Misri clothing. So he stuck out, you know, they got different clothing. So when he comes, what did he say? Amir al-Mu'mineen, A'idhan biqam minaz zulm. I seek your refuge from oppression. Immediately, what did Umar radiallahu anhu say? Utta ma'ada, you're granted refuge. What happened? He told him. Umar sends message. Not just the son, that's interesting. He goes, father and son wanted. Now what's interesting, from the report we know Amr didn't know what's going on. Because at the end, because I didn't even know this took place. He didn't even come to me. So Amr must have asked his son, even though it's not part of the text, why is Amir al-Mu'mineen wanting to see me and you? The son didn't tell him. He goes, I don't know, father. You know, you imagine what he said to him. Oh, it's strange. So imagine they're traveling. And he's the fox of the Arabs. He comes over to Al-Madinah. What happens? Amr's still none the wiser. But he sees the Egyptian. And then he tells, that we'd say, Margia. Something's happened, right? And then what did Umar radiallahu anhu say? Idribn al-Akrami, played with the words. Idribn al-Akrami, flog the son of the noble. So what happened? Imagine, Egyptian building all that, he thought, this is what I wanted. And imagine, now think about this. You're in Al-Madinah. Who are the leading ruling class? The Quraysh. You're in the land of the Ansar. a total foreigner's come. He's now taking his vengeance upon the upper classes. Where's that in world history? So the report goes, and look at Anas. Anas said, we weren't offended by it, thinking, what's happening? Why is Amir al-Mu'mineen causing the Quraysh to be humiliated? Look what he said. He goes, he flogged him, for Wallah, he swore Qasam. He goes, by Allah, لَقَدْ دَرَبَهُ وَنَحْنُ نُحِبُّ دَرُبَهُ. He was flogged, we love the flogging. Meaning, this is what Allah Ta'ala wants on the earth, he wants justice. Then what happened? He goes, he did his full flogging. This is what Umar called Amr. And what did he then say? Now, flog the father. So Amr still bewildered. But he couldn't say anything. The Egyptian obviously thought, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I've took my due. Why would I want to flog the father? Then, this is why Umar angrily said to Amr, and these are, you know, famous words in Arabic, مُذْكَمْ تَعَبَّدْتُمُ النَّاسَ وَقَدْ وَلَدَتْهُمْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ أَحْرَارًا. Since when have you regarded people as your slaves when their mother gave birth to them as free men? Question. He never considered them to be slaves. But he was saying, you're the governor. Your own household. You're the head of the household. Then he says, whip him. And then Amr ibn al-As, he just said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, lam a'lam wa lam ya'atini. I was unaware of this incident. And he didn't come to me, because I would have done the same. And of course, we believe he would have done the same. He wouldn't have spared his son. But then the matter was settled. So now, a few interesting points. Note the access the Zimmis had to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. The Zimmis. He wasn't a Muslim. And also how they were all aware of his extraordinary sense of justice. They wouldn't mind traveling all those many miles to secure it from him. Subhanallah. Now think about it. He's not even a Muslim. Imagine what's happening. A non-Muslim is flogging the governor's son in the capital of Islam. Yes. The kingdom of heaven. Which the Christians keep banging on about, right? Where was this kingdom of heaven? We saw it, right? It was in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu had warned his own family upon his ascension to the high post that far from being honored, they were to be even more cautious in their daily conduct of affairs. So think about that. He got his family together. He goes, this isn't a good thing that I've become the Khalif. It's a bad thing. Now you need to be careful. Where is it recorded? In Ibn Asakir, Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, Kanzul Umal, volume 2, page 141, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 256 of the New English Translation, Abdullah Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu, he said, whenever Umar, radiyallahu anhu, intended forbidding the people from anything, he first approached his family, and he said, should I come to know of any of you perpetrating what I am forbidding the people from, I shall mete out double the punishment to him. I'm warning you all. So Umar said, if I say something is not allowed and you do it, you're going to get double the punishment. I've warned you now. Did this happen? Yes. The most famous touching example of the enforcement of this law was the following. In Bayhaqi, Abdul Razak Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, Kanzul Umal, volume 4, page 422, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 514 of the New English Translation, Abdullah Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu, he said, my brother Abdul Rahman Ibn Umar, who wasn't a Sahaba, rahmatullah alayhi, and Abu Saru'a both drank some wine whilst they were in Egypt during the Khalifat of my father Umar. So, dear. So Umar's son is in Egypt and he drinks wine. So should we find that strange? No. They were heavily into wine. They just left it with Islam. Moment of weakness, they drank. So what happened? They were both intoxicated. Meaning it wasn't just the sick. They drank until they lost their senses. And the following morning in grief, they approached the governor Amr ibn al-As, the governor of Egypt. They said, O Amir, purify us, for we had both become intoxicated with what we drank. This is the difference. What would we do? Oh no, just do Salat and Tasbih, right? You know, they're both Tabi, right? So they were, we need to get purified, governor. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, when my brother mentioned to me before he was flogged that he had become intoxicated, I said to him, come to my dwelling, I will purify you. In other words, don't make less, I will do it. I did not know he had already gone to Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Thus it appears that the governor had told him first to go to his brother Abdullah ibn Umar. Look at the mercy of Amr ibn al-As. So when Umar's son was brought, he thought, oh my God, right? So then he goes, go to your brother, Abdullah ibn Umar. He seems to indicate that. When my brother informed me that he had already informed the governor of Egypt, I responded, your head will not be shaved in front of all the people today. Go into the house, I myself will shave your head. Because that's what the governor would do. As a sign of, you know, humiliation, he'd shave their head as well. He goes, come into my house, I'll do that. The practice of the governors in those days was that they shaved the head of criminals together with imposing the penalty. Why? As a deterrent. The two men entered the dwelling. I shaved my brother's head with my own hand, and Amr had them lashed. So everything's done. Right? Amr radiallahu anhu didn't want it to go. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen's son. They were both, you know, purified by the governor. They were lashed. The venerable men thought the matter had been settled. However, Amir al-Mu'mineen was informed. He was furious. In Abd al-Razak ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi in his Manaqib al-Umr, page 235, Sayyidina Umar wrote a letter to Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu, and he said, from the servant of Allah, Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Al-Asi, son of Al-Asi, to the disobedient one, son of the disobedient one, I am amazed at you, O son of Al-As, how bold you are with me, and by how blatantly you have acted contrary to my orders. I have left with you some of the people of Badr, people far better than you, but I chose you to carry out my orders. I feel now, however, that you have sullied yourself beyond repair, and I think that I have no choice but to fire you from your post. So stop in the report. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, he knew this with Amr. He changed his name, but he was upset with him. So his father's name is Al-As. That means disobedient. No, fitting for the father because he was a big shaitan. But when he was upset with Amr, he'd say to him, Al-Asi ibn Al-Asi. The disobedient one. Son of the disobedient one. And look what he said to him. He goes, ah, people of Badr, I didn't make them governor. I thought you would be more wise. He goes, I think that you've now stain yourself, you're going to get fired. Then he said, you beat my son, Abd al-Rahman, in your dwelling instead of public. Even after you came to know he's disobeyed me. Verily, Abd al-Rahman is no more than a common member of your flock. You must do with him what you do with the other Muslims. But you said to yourself, he is the son of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And yet you know I show no clemency where there is a right that must be carried out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this letter reaches you, send him in a cloak and upon a saddle so that he may come to know the evil of what he has done. So Ahmad reads the letter, he goes, mar gaya. He goes, I fulfilled the command of Allah, I tried my best, I tried to spare, but Umar wants nothing of it. But he put his own reputation at stake for this. And Umar was now thinking of dismissing him. And then he goes, and he's right. He goes, you thought he's the son of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, I know what you was thinking. But he's the nobody. Because he's nobody. He's just a normal person. He goes, you did it privately. He goes, send him to me. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to teach him a lesson. Now what's interesting? Notice the Amir al-Mu'mineen had not ordered the second person to come. Abu Saru'a, because he had been purified. You know, look how interesting, very easily missed. There was two of them, but the other one is done. He's not the son of Umar. So what happened? Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he said, Amr ibn al-As complied radiyallahu anhu. And when Abdul Rahman reached our father Umar, he was furious. He lashed him, punished him further due to his relationship with him. He then released him and he lived hale and healthy for a month. After which predestination caught up and he passed away. Thus, although people commonly believe he died because of the lashing he received from his father, it is evident he did not die due to that lashing. This is in Bayhaqi, Abdul Razak, Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, Kanzul Umal, volume 4, page 422, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 514-5 of the New English Translation. Now this is very important. People think they're doing a great service to the deen by saying Umar killed his son. How is that a disservice? Because you've accused Umar of not knowing how to lash. There's rules and regulations with regards to lashing. And if you study Surah Nur, you will see those regulations. So Umar killed his son. Where did you get that from? So his son, his other son, the great son, Abdullah ibn Umar, he was healthy after that. But a month later he died. So people start thinking. He goes, that's not correct. He goes, he didn't die from the lashing. Now, if I didn't mention anything else about this son, you're thinking, well, he was like a black sheep of the family. So let me mention something good about him. Hafiz ibn al-Atir in his Asad al-Ghaba, volume 3, page 527-9. Hafiz Zahabi in his Tadrij Asma al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 363. So what was the son's name? Ubaidullah. Ubaidullah ibn Umar, rahmatullah alayh. He fought with Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu, in the Battle of Siffin. And he was martyred in Rabi al-Awwal, 37 AH. His killer was said to be a man either from the tribe of Rabi'ah or Hamdan. His body was transported on a mule by his wife. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu brought Ubaidullah ibn Umar's sword after his death. It was rumored to be the sword which was previously owned by Sayyidina Umar himself radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Muawiyah, after taking the sword, he respectfully gave it as a gift to Abdullah ibn Umar, who had kept out of the conflict. Look at these beautiful details. So whose side did Ubaidullah ibn Umar side with in the tragic civil wars? It was with Muawiyah. And they were Sahaba, obviously, so mashallah, they all upon guidance. In that battle, he was martyred, Battle of Siffin, Umar's son. Hazrat Muawiyah was really hurt over this. He was thinking, how can I show love and veneration to the family of Umar? One of his sons was martyred on my side. So he bought the sword. Now think about it. How much was he paid for that sword? It was Umar's sword. So he paid probably a ridiculous amount from his own wealth. But what was his then love gesture? He sent it to Abdullah ibn Umar. And he wasn't even participating in the civil war. As if to say, this is your father's sword. He goes, I've given it back to you. So note, he was martyred. So therefore, we shouldn't think ill when you look at these reports. Because at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala blesses them with a noble death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thus have mercy upon the son of Umar and forgive us all for his honorable sake. Ameen. So to conclude, note, the venerable Amir al-Mu'mineen had set the standard and would hence in turn expect nothing but the best from his noble governors. Easy saying it. You got to be just, you got to be just. But if the Amir al-Mu'mineen set the standard, you know, A+, the governors are thinking, you know, this is shameful. You know, the Amir al-Mu'mineen with all his responsibilities has set the bar so high, so they're going to follow suit. So note, he didn't just say to them, be just, look after your flock. He was setting the standard himself. And notice, he didn't even spare his family. His son had to get a double whipping. Why? Because he said that. If I find out any of you do any crime that I've... He goes, you will get double. There is no leniency for you. And even an Amr wasn't dismissed. Umar, you know, reconsidered and he left him in his post. Why? Because at the end of the day, he fulfilled the Shariat. He fulfilled what needed to be done. Granted, one thing was done in private. And notice, there was nothing about Abdullah ibn Umar in the rebuke. Umar might have taken him to task, but I don't think there was anything said to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So all I mentioned again was glimpses of the renowned justice of Sayyidina Umar, where the great name of Amr ibn al-As is mentioned radiallahu anhu. And note, the lesson just go on endless. And this was why the Prophet famously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if there had been a Prophet after me, it would have been Umar. But you can only appreciate that authentic hadith in Tirmidhi when you go through the lives of the companions, because they lived during his khilafat radiallahu anhu. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اللهم لا اله الا انت سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا الصبر صدق الله